It's clamped on the barrel now.
In 1994, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, along with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, made the last attempt to raise these mystery barrels. They snagged only two. In 1990, they recovered seven.
No, you send the stub on, try and pick it up.
A decade ago, the Red Cliff Band decided that the public has the right to know what's in those 55-gallon drums secretly dumped 2 miles from Duluth water intake by order of the Department of Defense. Now, finally, Red Cliff Tribal Council member Marvin Defoe says they're raising 70 of the barrels.
It's taken that long. You know, it's taken that long to get to this point. There is even one point, you know, through this whole process that everything stopped. Everything stopped.
Defoe says this is a model in perseverance. Red Cliff Tribal Chairwoman Rose Gurnow-Sawyer agrees. But she says things could have happened faster if the DOD had taken responsibility earlier. She says they didn't.
I'm saying no because why didn't they take the initiative to get these barrels out of the lake? Why did it take Red Cliff or our supporters or, you know, our friends? Why did it take us? So I say no. I say no, that they didn't live up to their responsibilities.
Yet the DOD did come through with funding after agreeing to pay for the removal of a sampling of these barrels. By this September 30th, DOD's Native American Lands Environmental Mitigation Program will have forked over $3.3 million to Red Cliff, the largest tribal ammunition dump cleanup in the nation. In an interview last April, Red Cliff Environmental Director Melanie Montano says about 40 other tribes are also struggling to have these dumps removed.
The other tribes as well have voiced a lot of concern and frustration having to jump through hoops to receive funding to actually clean this up, especially if it's within the boundaries. For example, Barrow, Alaska, which is the northernmost point in Alaska, they literally have an area where they call the land of the 10,000 barrels. It's a ravine filled with barrels.
Even more remarkable in the case of Red Cliff is that these barrels are actually outside reservation boundaries, but are in what is called the ceded territory. Chippewa tribes ceded that land to the federal government in the treaties of 1842 and 1854. In exchange for annual payments and reservation land guarantees, the Chippewa people could hunt, fish, and gather in the ceded region. So Chairwoman Gurnow-Sawyer says they need to protect Lake Superior.
The lake is very important to us. The water is very important. We need that all to survive. So we're very concerned about that. And we're very concerned about the federal government's trust responsibility to make sure that they ensure that our treaty rights we can use. We can live and we can eat and we can, you know, do all of that.
Defoe's father and grandfather took him onto Gitche Gumee, the Ojibwe name for Lake Superior. Now he takes his 9-year-old son, Talon, out. The Bayfield School fourth grader is learning from his tribe's perseverance.
They're doing a good job trying to keep the water clean, and I think they will.
Is there pride, certainly, in retrieving these barrels from Lake Superior? Yes, there is. And it goes with all of that combined, that even though there may be a minute risk to the water, a minute risk to the environment, or a minute risk to not just the Chippewa people, but all people who live in this wonderful place that we call home.
Tribal members say if contamination is found, they'll go back and remove the rest of the barrels. Mike Simonson, Wisconsin Public Radio, in Superior.